listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Our 14, almost 15-year-old Micah is at his second weekend of travel baseball tournaments here in October. It's October baseball for our family as well as for the nation. Last week, Micah and Heather were over in Delaware. This week, they're down south playing in tournaments. And I'm sitting here reflecting on how much baseball for him and for us by extension has changed since he was a little leaguer. You sports families can probably relate to the evolution that we've experienced. I'm thinking about how the coaches in particular have changed over the years. Gone are the days of constant affirmation. I mean, there's affirmation. They're great coaches. There's affirmation when you do a great job, but not when you're just doing your job. Not when you just field a ground ball from shortstop and throw it out first. Not when you catch a pop fly or even make a strikeout. Gone are the days of cupcakes and box drink apple juice after the game. Gone are the days of everybody plays everywhere on the field, no matter what. You remember those days? No, coach expects his players to show up, practice, hustle, pay attention, be out front, give it your all, bring everything you have to this field, they say. In fact, if you don't show up, if you don't bring it all to the field, he's going to play somebody else. If you're distracted from the game and you're not bringing your all, you're going to sit out. The king in Jesus' parable today calls the wedding guests to show up. It's time for a party. And the king is looking for those to show up. He's pulling out all the stops. Everyone is paid for already. Food and drink will abound. The banquet table, the wedding table is set. The candles are lit. The band is queued up. The meal is hot and ready to be served. And nobody shows up. Nobody shows. They all have excuses in this parable for today. Most of them just have to work. No time for frivolous, excessive partying. Some of them have a better offer, pre-existing plans. Others just don't really want to come. I mean, they don't really know the wedding couple anyway, so they make something up and bow out with a quick, friendly text. And then there are others who might actually like to go, but some voice in their head is telling them that they're not worth it, that they don't deserve this kind of a party. They've hosted weddings themselves. They know how expensive it can be, and so they don't want to put the king out. They've got a bit of a martyr complex. They mean well, but they fail to see value in themselves, and they just can't let themselves be loved and lavished by the king. That's a little like in the text, when some actually seize and kill the king's servants who are managing the RSVPs. It just kills the spirit of the feast. Have you ever had somebody decline a lavish gift that you're excited to give them, and they pass, just citing, oh, not on my account, no. Oh, or something like, oh, I don't want to put you out. Some excuse like that? It just sucks the spirit of joy and generosity and celebration out of the room. It's like killing the king's servants. So those suffering martyr complexed ones decline the invitation too. In fact, nobody, the text says, who was originally invited shows up. And this infuriates the king. I should do a little textual analysis here. Matthew says in this text that the king goes out and kills these no-shows, burns their city. Fundamentalists read this very clearly as a reference to hell and the fires of damnation if you don't show up for Jesus. It's kind of like that clear-cut and simple. But most mainstream scholars look at this in the context of the time that Matthew was writing, and that this was an obvious reference when we take that into account. This was an obvious reference to the destruction of Jerusalem and the lackadaisical faith of the chosen ones, of the insiders, of those who were squandering the goodness of God, the invitation of God. So you have to decide what you think this means, where the king goes out, slaughters. But anyway, the king's not, the king's going to play somebody else. If we use the coach metaphor, the king's going to put someone else into the field, into the celebration. It's like when the kid on the team who's the biggest and the strongest probably has the most talent, but who's also had a really bad attitude these days. He's playing only for himself, he's cutting down his teammates, he's mouthing off arrogantly to everyone, including the coaches. So the good coach takes that kid out, benches him. He's not showing up. And instead puts in the kid who's all heart. And he might even just have enough gumption and heart to turn this game around. The king's going to put someone else in because the privilege round draft picks didn't show up. It's that, is that so heartless? Or is it actually a great move, even loving for the good of the whole? So the master's servants, they've been through a lot, haven't they? I mean, their friends are even getting attacked out there. The master's servants, they've been through a lot, and they go out again at the king's command. They go out again, and now at the king's command, they invite everyone. Everyone. That's a cue. That's the Gentiles. The gospel opens up to everyone. The doors of the church fling wide open. It's not just the insiders. It's not just the chosen ones. It's not just the lifelong ones. The doors fling wide open. This is what the kingdom of heaven is compared to, Jesus teaches. It's compared to a king who invites everyone. The riffraff is welcome. I say that because just verses before, Jesus was talking about the tax collectors and the prostitutes getting into God's good graces before those puffed up and self-righteous Pharisees. This parable is an elaboration on that. Riffraff. I hope our baseball real-life metaphor can be helpful in this too. Those servants went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. Here's what occurs to me this week. Friends in Christ, we're the riffraff. You're the riffraff. We're the ones who are left. We're the ones who got scooped up by God's love, and here we are. We're the ones who coach just put into the game, all heart. You're not a perfect group of churchy people. I'm not a perfect pastor. We're broken and jealous and bitter and hungry and sad and lost and struggling and scared. But here we are, scooped up by God's love, probably because one of God's servants who invited us. Maybe that was a parent or a grandparent that brought you into the banquet hall long ago. Maybe it was a friend or stranger even, just recently. But here we are, at the Lord's banquet table. Candles lit, food and drink abounds. Here we are, still serving and still being served, still feasting, still drinking wine and eating bread, still ingesting and digesting this word of God, word of life. We're the riffraff siblings in Christ. the good and the bad, all wrapped up into us, all wrapped up into you. And God's gathered us in, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now, what about this guy who gets bounced from the party in this text because he wasn't wearing his wedding garment? What's that all about? I think it's a whole other sermon, but let me say this. When God invites us into the banquet, when God calls us onto the field, we ought to bring everything we have, including that free garment of grace that God's given. You see, those wedding robes in those days, they were something that no one could afford. They were provided by the king at the door of the wedding feast. Like how in church you receive a worship folder or a candle at the beginning of a church service before you even come in. Only the wedding robes are way more expensive. God's love and grace is provided freely at the door. Before we even come in. Before we even sit down. Before we even eat. So for God's sake, put it on. God's love and grace. Put that garment on. Don't think that you can pass without wearing God's free garment of love and grace. This one guy did. He thought he could get in, and he was thrown out into the outer darkness. How we too can be tossed out when we choose not to accept God's offer, God's robe of forgiveness and peace. We pretty much toss ourselves out at that point. Here it is. Given freely, shed abundantly for you. This welcome to all is for you too. This challenge to both receive God's grace, to give it all we've got on the field, and to seek to extend that same welcome to everyone else, just like we've received from God. That's the party. That's the game. That's the joy. That's discipleship. That's stewardship. This is where we find ourselves these October days, sisters and brothers, siblings in Christ. God's hospitality is multifaceted and exciting and challenging and lavish. And you're in. You're on the team. You're on the field. Play ball.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
The Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.